seeking the Lord's help, I would direct our prayerful attention this evening hour to a few verses that we read from that passage in Mark's Gospel and chapter 12. And we turn our attention this evening really to the verses 13 down to the verse 17. And while you're turning there, may I thank you once again most sincerely for the kind invitation to come today. As I said this morning, it really is a joy and a delight to be with you, to be with those of like mind in these dark days in which we live, and we look to the Lord to bless us as we seek to continue to serve him. Thank you too for the very warm hospitality and kind hospitality that has been given to me today, and I do bring to you the greetings of the church in which I minister down in Dawes Heath in South East Essex, Dawes Heath Evangelical Church. So let's turn then to these verses, Mark chapter 12 and the verse 13. And they send unto him, that's to the Lord Jesus, certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians, to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it, and he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marvelled at him. Well, may the Lord help us as we meditate upon these verses together. Perhaps they're not verses that we turn to very regularly or preach from very regularly, but they were brought to my attention not so very long ago, and I feel that they are those the Lord would have us meditate upon for a while this evening. We know that while the Lord Jesus Christ was here upon the earth, there were a number of occasions when various people came to him asking him various kinds of questions. Some of those people perhaps were genuine seekers. They genuinely wanted answers to their questions, to their inquiries. Other times there were people who were not so genuine in the questions that they asked the Lord Jesus Christ. And they asked him what we might call trick questions. Well, such is the case in this passage that we are looking at for a while this evening. We are told very clearly in the verse 13 that the Pharisees, or certain of the Pharisees and the Herodians, were sent to the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were sent with a particular specific purpose, and that purpose was to catch him in his words. That was their motivation. That was what they desired to do. I would suggest that they weren't really interested in the answer to the questions that the Lord Jesus Christ would give to them. Rather, they wanted, if they could, to get the Lord Jesus Christ into some kind of trouble. And we might find, as believers, as we go through our lives, if people know that we are believers, that we're Christians, people may ask us questions. There may be some people who are quite genuine. They genuinely want to know what we believe or why we do the things that we do. They may even be genuine seekers after the truth. Then there might be others who just want to try and catch us out, or even if they can or could, to get us into some kind of trouble. I think that's particularly true when people preach in the open air. Someone might come along and ask a question which is really trying to catch the person out or trying to get them into some kind of trouble. Well, in these two chapters of Mark 11 and Mark 12, the Lord Jesus Christ was asked several questions. In chapter 11 and verse 28, there were those who came to him and said, "By what authority doest thou these things?" Then in the passage that we're looking at this evening, these Pharisees and Herodians came to the Lord Jesus Christ and they asked him two questions. One's at the end of verse 14. "Is it lawful to give tribute or taxes," we might say today, "to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give?" Then there were the Sadducees further down in the passage who didn't even believe in the resurrection, we're told, and yet they ask the Lord Jesus Christ a question about the resurrection in verse 23. "In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife." They ask a question concerning a most unlikely scenario. And then there was one further question that the Lord Jesus Christ was asked, and it could be that the scribe who asked this question was a genuine seeker after the truth, because the Lord Jesus said to him at the end of the conversation, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no man durst ask the Lord any more questions. But the scribe's question was, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Well, we consider this question of responsibility this evening, or these two questions that were put to the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 14 and 15. "Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give?" And our Lord's conclusion is that in verse 17, we should render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. That tells us very clearly that as the Lord's people, we have responsibilities to Caesar. We would say today, in the context of our own country, the government, those who rule over us, the powers that be. We have responsibilities to render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, but we also must render to God the things that belong to God. But the first thing that we see in verse 13 is what we might call a rather strange alliance. And it's a rather strange alliance because two groups of people come together to approach the Lord Jesus Christ in order to try and catch him out in the question that they ask him. But they were two groups of people who didn't see eye to eye on many issues, and normally perhaps they had very little in common. It wasn't the first time that these two groups of people had come together in order to ask the Lord Jesus Christ a question. There were the Herodians. Now, as their name would suggest, they were supporters of the family of Herod and the Romans, who gave Herod the authority to rule. But on the other hand, there were the Pharisees. They considered the Herod clan to be usurpers of the throne of David because Herod was not a Jew. The Pharisees resented the Romans for the tax that they levied on Judea, and they also resented the presence of the Romans in their land. The Herodians were not religious people, whereas the Pharisees loved the outward ceremony of religion. But their mutual opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ brought them to him on this occasion that they might catch him in his words. And in a very subtle way they approach the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 14, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Now remember that we're told in verse 13, we know what their goal was. We know what their intention was. They were trying to catch the Lord Jesus Christ out. They were trying to create a dilemma for him, to trap him, so that whatever answer he gave to their question, he would be in the wrong. If he said it was lawful to give tribute to Caesar, then there would be those who would consider him a traitor to Israel. But if, on the other hand, he said that no taxes should be paid to Caesar, he would be considered a rebel and an insurrectionist. And they thought that the Lord could not escape. Now, as they come to the Lord Jesus, they use words here which, on one level, were actually quite correct. They call the Lord Jesus Christ Master, and so he was. They say, we know that thou art true, and he was, and he is the truth. They say, thou carest for no man, and thou regardest not the person of men. He wasn't any respecter of persons, and that was true. He did teach the way of God in truth. And we might think, well, they're being quite kind here to the Lord Jesus. They're saying things to him which are actually true. But in reality, what they were saying was insincere. It was insincere because we're told in verse 15, but the Lord, knowing their hypocrisy, this was a pretense. It was hypocrisy. They may have been using flattering words, but their words were insincere. And they didn't really mean the words that they said, although on one level, what they actually said was true. It's like those who referred to the Lord Jesus Christ as the friend of sinners. And so he was, and he is, the friend of sinners. But those who said it in a derogatory way towards the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ saw their hypocrisy. He saw the insincerity of their words because he knew what was in their hearts. And all as we come before him in worship this evening, surely there's a lesson for us here. We can use words. We can sing the words of the hymns. We can say an amen to the prayers. But do we really mean the words that we sing or we say? The Lord knows what's in our hearts as we come before him in worship this evening, and we cannot hide anything from him. But nevertheless, the two questions that they ask the Lord Jesus are legitimate questions, and we're going to consider them this evening, and in particular to consider the response that the Lord Jesus gave to these two questions. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? What are our responsibilities towards the government, towards the powers that be? Can we as Christians just live as we like? Can we be lawless? Can we live as if we are above the law? Do we have to pay our taxes? Well, we'll consider the answer that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. And then also to consider also, and this is important, the things that we must render to God as his dear believing people. Is it lawful then to give tribute to Caesar? Caesar was the governor. He was probably worse than any ruler that we have today, according to what historians tell us. We may not think that much of the government that we have today, but the Roman power was truly tyrannical, and evil men were in power over Palestine. I know we could make a case for saying that some of those who rule over us today are evil, ungodly men, but I would suggest that whilst that may be the case, we still probably have more freedoms and liberties than was the case in these days when the Lord Jesus Christ was upon the earth. But even, it would seem to me, though those in authority may be ungodly men, yet there are still many ways in which we ought to submit to them. We could think of a very well-known example of this in the New Testament scriptures. You remember, just before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, Caesar Augustus, who was undoubtedly an ungodly man, issued a decree that everyone was to return to his own country, his own place, because of this taxing that was due to take place. And so Joseph and Mary complied, and that's why they were in Bethlehem when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem according to the prophecy, and all in the purpose of God. Well, what was the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ to these two questions? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? Well, his answer was, first of all, why tempt ye me? Why are you testing me? Why are you trying me? And he asked them to bring him a penny, which they did. And he asked about the image that's on the coin, and it was Caesar's. And he says unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And we have to remember that the powers that be are ordained by God. God raises up to positions of authority in the land those to rule over us, that we might know a measure of stability in the land, that there might be the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do well. Very often it is the case that those who are in authority are ungodly men and women, but nevertheless they are raised up by God, they are ordained by him and appointed by him to the position that they are in. Would to God that those in authority in our own land in these days truly realised that it was God who has put them, it is God who has put them in that position, and that they are accountable to him, and oh, that they might turn to his word for godly wisdom. But I would suggest to you this evening that the teaching of scripture is that while Caesar requires us to do those things that are right and good, we render to Caesar those things. Yes, we must, I believe, pay our taxes. It is lawful that we give tribute to Caesar, to the government. In fact, the word render means to pay back, and by paying our taxes we do pay, as it were, a debt that we owe in return for the services that we receive. But when Caesar persecutes us, when Caesar tells us that we can't preach the gospel, as was the case for the apostles in the days of the early church, then we have to say no. Then we have to say we must obey God rather than men. Because whilst Caesar, whilst the powers that be are appointed by God, they're ordained by God, he has raised them up for the good of our society, that we might have law and order, and that we might have stability. They can only go so far. And when they overstep the mark, and when they tell us to do those things that are wrong and are not in accordance with the scriptures, then we have to say no, we cannot do that. Whilst the law of our land is in accordance with the law of God, we should seek to obey it. But when the law of our land goes contrary to the law of God, then we have to say no. We have to say no. But what I want us to consider also this evening is not just rendering to Caesar, the powers that be, the government, the things that are Caesar's. We have to remember that we have another responsibility alongside this as well. Because the Lord Jesus Christ tells us here that we are to render to God the things that are God's. Especially if we are the Lord's people, there are those things that we must render to God. And we need to keep a right balance in these things. Yes, there's things that we must render to Caesar. There are debts that we owe to the government, as it were, for the services that we receive in our lives. But we must not neglect to give to God the things that are God's. And we must give to God our heart, our mind, and our will. There are a number of things that God's word tells us that as his people we are to render to God with all of our heart. And one of those things came out in the passage that we read together this evening in verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this: thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is something, dear friends, that we are to render to God. And what we are to render to God is that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Yes, we should love our neighbour as ourselves. We should be concerned for our fellow citizens. But first and foremost, we have a duty. There is a requirement that we love the Lord wholeheartedly. And yet we have to be honest. As we look into our own hearts, we have to, as it were, plead guilty that we have broken this commandment. For we cannot and we do not love the Lord as he requires that we should. I'm sure even as we sit here this evening in God's house on his day and as we seek to worship him, yet really we're not loving the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Surely we have to acknowledge with the hymn writer, Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is cold and faint. This is our duty to God. We are to love him, and yet we fall so far short. Oh, that we might be helped to love him more. We need surely to meditate upon his great love toward us, in order that our love for him might be drawn out more, that we might love him just a little more. And when we think of God's great love for us, when we think of this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, then that should draw out something of our love and of our devotion to him. But it's surely only when we shall see him that we shall, as Robert Murray McShane said in his hymn, love him with an unsinning heart. We're to render to God the things that are God. And God commands, God requires that we love him wholeheartedly. Oh, that we might love him more. But then there are two or three other areas where we are to render to God the things that are God's. What of our time? The time that God gives us in our lives, this short and uncertain life, there is a portion of our time that is to be given back to God. that we must render to Him. Yes, every day we should seek to pray. Every day we should give time to God by prayer and by the reading of God's Word, and by family devotions if we are in families. We think particularly of that one day in the week, the Lord's Day, that we must give to God. And it's of increasing concern to me in these days that the Lord's people do not seem to love God's Day or keep God's Day, even as they did a few decades ago when I was a child and a young person. I'm sure then many of the Lord's people loved God's Day more than they do today. But oh dear friends, we're to render to God the things that are God's. He gives us 6 days of the week to do our work, to do our pleasure, to do those necessary things that we must attend to in this world, in this life. But there's one day in 7 that He says we're to keep holy, and we're to give the hours as far as we can to Him, because He calls the hours His own. That's something that God requires of us, that we are to render to Him. We must render, yes, to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but to God the things that are God's. We're to love Him wholeheartedly, but we're to give Him the hours of His day. Not just God's half day, not just to come along to a morning service and then live the rest of the day as we like. Well, I realise, of course, there may in some cases be genuine reasons why the Lord's people are not able to come more than once. There is some work that is legitimate that has to be carried out on the Lord's Day. There are some essential services that must be maintained. We think of those who work in the health service or in the care of the sick and elderly and things like that. I'm not meaning to criticise those people for such work. Works of mercy and necessity must be carried out. But there is nevertheless that one day in 7 that we must give to God, for the day belongs to Him. What of our talents? What of our abilities? What God has given to us? Or we might feel our talents are few. Perhaps because of age or infirmity, we can't do the things that once we did. But those things we can do, we must seek to do for the Lord. What of our tithes? What of our money that the Lord gives to us? We must surely give back to God a portion of what He has first given to us. We need to remember that the Lord is the divine owner. He is the one who has made us, and by creation we belong to Him, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Therefore, because God is our maker and because He is the divine owner of all things, we must render to God the things that are God's. We don't belong to ourselves. We're God's by creation. But we need to remember something else, dear friends, if we're believers here this evening. Not only are we God's by creation because He has made us and because in Him we live and move and have our being, but if we're believers, we're His because He has redeemed us. We're His. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. We're to render to God the things that are God's. We're God's by creation. If we're believers, we're God's by redemption. He's bought us with a price. We're not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. And we must remember that. And therefore, we must seek to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. And surely that work of Christ upon the cross, that redeeming work of Christ, that price that He has paid for each one of His dear believing people, should be the motivation for us, yes, to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But what Caesar requires of us can only go so far. We must render to God the things that are God's. The God who is our Maker. The God who, if we are believers, is our Redeemer God. The one who has bought us with a price. He shed his precious blood. He's given his life for us. Let us therefore render to him the things that belong to him. Well, we'll leave it there for now. May the Lord add his blessing for his name's sake. Amen.